This is ProBlogger.
Hey there, it's Darren from ProBlogger, and welcome to episode 136. If you could only write one type of content on your blogs forever, what would it be? This is a question that I was asked back in 2007 while I was in Las Vegas at a blogging conference. And I was on this panel, Q&A panel, and I was asked this question by someone on the floor. I wish I knew who it was, because it's a question that I've gone back to time and time again. I've particularly gone back to the answer that I gave on that particular day. The answer I gave that day, I hadn't really thought a whole heap about. It was just something that came to mind in the moment as I was asked the question. But in answering the question, I unlocked a bit of a secret, and I had this realization that a lot of what I'd done over the last 3 years of my blogging already had really set me up and had helped me to grow my blogs to that point. I've been blogging for 4 or 5 years at that point, and in that moment, in answering that question, I realized what I'd been doing. And it really shaped the years that have followed. You know, over the last almost 14 years of blogging now, I have focused almost 90, 95% of my time creating a certain type of content. And that's what I want to talk about today. You know, what type of content should you be focusing your time upon creating? You know, if you really want a bang for your buck, if you really want a good return on investment in terms of the time that you put into content, I want to share with you the type of content that I think you should be at least dedicating some time to every week. You can find today's show notes, and there's going to be quite a few of them today because this will be a meaty podcast. I've got a lot to go through with you today. I want to share with you what this type of content is. I want to tell you why it's so powerful. I want to give you some examples of this type of content, a variety of different examples, both from my blogs and also some of my readers. And then I also want to share with you some ideas on how to come up with this type of content for your own blog. And there's a variety of different approaches that you can have. So make yourself comfortable, grab yourself a beverage, and go over to problogger.com/podcast/136, where I will include all the show notes and there'll be links to all the examples that I give you today. Thanks for listening. Let's get into this particular episode.
Creating great content. Finding an audience. Building engagement. Monetizing your blog. This is ProBlogger.
So what type of content is the best type of content to focus upon creating for your blog? And whilst there's never a single answer to this type of question, because every blog is a little bit different, I want to talk about the approach that I have taken with the vast majority of the content that I've created. You know, over the last 13 years, I tried to work out the other day how many pieces of content I've published on my blogs. And I don't really know, because my first blogs do not exist anymore and I can't actually see how many pieces of content are there, but it's well over 20,000 pieces of content that I've created just on my blogs. And you can add into that a whole heap of social media posts as well. There's over 8,000 posts alone on ProBlogger. Blog posts and podcasts added together. There's over 6,000 on Digital Photography School. So just on my main two blogs, there's 14,000 pieces of content there. And then I've got a whole heap of other content on previous blogs that I've had as well. And one of the things I've done in preparation for today's podcast is look back over some of the best content that I've created in terms of how many people have viewed it. And one of the things that I've noticed as I've looked back at the most read content that I've created is that the vast majority of it is what I would call evergreen content. Evergreen content is a terminology that you may have heard before. For those of you who aren't familiar with that term, evergreen content is content that stays fresh for your readers. It's as relevant today, years after being written, as it was on the day that it was written. It doesn't date, I guess would be another way to describe it. I want to say right up front, I'm sure there are plenty of examples of blogs that are very successful that don't focus upon evergreen content. I'm not saying that this is the only way to create a blog, is to create evergreen content. I've actually had a blog, one of my first commercial blogs, that was very much the opposite. It was very now content. It was about digital cameras. and what was being released today. It was all about the new technologies, and there's plenty of examples of blogs that do well with that sort of more now-focused content. But as I look at my most successful blogs, the content that has been the basis for those success has been evergreen content. And I'm going to share with you a whole heap of different examples of that type of content from both ProBlogger Digital Photography School. And if you're looking at the show notes, you'll also see I'm including some links to some of my readers' evergreen content as well to give you some examples of that, hopefully to stimulate some ideas for your own blog. Now, I'm not the only one who thinks that evergreen content is great. There's been many blog posts written around the web on that, and you could do a search for evergreen content and find a whole heap of great advice on it. But I want to encourage you to listen to this really short snippet from Tim Ferriss's podcast. I'm using this with permission from Tim. Thank you, Tim, for allowing me to share it. This comes from his 78th episode. It's from May 2015, May 27th. And it's a really good episode where Tim is asked a whole heap of questions by his readers. And in this particular segment, he's asked how he would build his blog audience again if he was just starting out today.
If you're building an audience, and I'll come back to that aspect of your question, the most labor-efficient way to build an audience over time is to have evergreen content. So I write long pieces that will be more valuable from an SEO real estate standpoint 2 years from the date I write it, compared to the week it launches, if that makes sense. So were you to look at my back catalog and the stats, I'm on WordPress VIP. If you were to look at my stats or Google Analytics, you would see that my most popular posts that get each hundreds of thousands of visits per month were written several years ago. And that's very much by design. I'm not upset by that because I fully expect that some of the articles I write this year, for instance, my post on practical thoughts on suicide, which is a very intense post, I expect that will continue to gather steam and be spread around and shared. And a year from now, it will be right in the top 10 rankings, which is very important to me.
Thanks again, Tim, for allowing us to share that snippet. And I do recommend that you go and check out episode 78 of Tim's podcast. I'll link to it in today's show notes as well, because Tim does go on to talk a little bit more about long-form content, which he, I guess they're the two elements for him, evergreen long-form content, and they're certainly a powerful approach. But today I just want to really focus in on evergreen content. This is content, as Tim says, it's going to be as valuable in a couple of years' time, perhaps even more valuable, and be and getting more traffic in a couple of years' time than perhaps it is on the day that he publishes it. So why is evergreen content a great investment? I think you should be already seeing it. You know, it continues to serve your readers as much in the future as it does the days that you write it. And the value that you're creating, that is a powerful thing. You know, to know that the piece of content that you are going to publish today is going to have a positive impact upon people in 10 years' time, potentially, is a pretty amazing thing. And that piece of content has the ability to make the world a better place for a longer period of time. And that's purely just from a altruistic kind of perspective, I think that's a great thing. In terms of traffic, and that's what Tim's really talking about here, it's something that will continue to be searched for again and again. If you choose the right topic, something that is relevant today but also will continue to be relevant in the future, and I'll give you some examples of these in a moment, then that potentially can bring in traffic, as much traffic today. If you pick the right topic in an area that's growing, so you might be spotting a trend within your niche that you think is going to be the next big thing for the next 10 years and it's actually going to grow, then that is even better than something that's just sort of already plateaued. Evergreen content is the type of content that you can refer people from, you know, future blog posts back to. And many of the examples that I'll give you a little bit later are pieces of content that I've written on Digital Photography School and ProBlogger, which are kind of cornerstone pieces of content that I continue to drive traffic back to from my future posts. And it's really useful to have those types of pieces of content in your archives ready to go so that you can link back to those type of things. Evergreen content is the type of content that you can link to from your navigation, from your menus, from your sidebars. If you go to ProBlogger right now, you'll see over at ProBlogger.net, you'll see in the sidebar of our blog posts that from those blog posts, we actually have sort of little banner ads for some of our evergreen pieces of content. So we have a post that I wrote a few months ago now called How to Start a Blog in 5 Easy Steps. That's linked to from every blog post on ProBlogger. It's an evergreen piece of content. I know that piece of content isn't going to date. It may date slightly in terms of some of the technologies, but I can update that. My How to Make Money Blogging post is an evergreen piece of content. I've had that live on ProBlogger now for many, many years. And yes, I do update it from time to time, I tweak it a little bit, but it's an evergreen piece of content that continue to drive traffic to from blog posts, but also from our navigation. Evergreen content is a type of content that you can continue to share and reshare in social media. And this is one of the frustrating things about having a blog that has very much now content and that dates very quickly is that you may have a very short window that you can be sharing the content that you're creating. If I do a review of a new camera, I can share that on social media for maybe a couple of months, and it will still be relevant. But, you know, 6 months later, that camera is already being superseded by a new one. Canon will release a new one every 6 or so months to supersede their old ones. And so I can't really continue to reshare that review. But if I have a blog post that has not dated at all, I can share that every month for the next 10 years if it's the right piece of content. You know, every month might be a little bit overkill, but many of the pieces of content that I am sharing on Digital Photography School's Facebook page were written 10 years ago. And haven't been really changed much at all since that point because they're on topics that are still as relevant today. And so that gives you a growing library of content that you can continue to reshare. And if you use a tool like Meet Edgar or Edgar, which we use on our Twitter streams, that can become a very automated thing. And so it can really help you to cut down the work that you're doing in terms of a sharing of content. Evergreen content is the type of content that, you know, once you have it and it's working in one format, you can also repurpose into other formats. For example, a couple of the episodes that I've done over the last few months here on the podcast started out as blog posts, evergreen pieces of content that I'd already published on the blog. And so once you've got an evergreen piece of content that's working, one of the things that you should be considering is, you know, what other mediums could I be repurposing that content into? And evergreen content is also the type of content that you'll find other bloggers will want to link to as well. That's a good thing for you as well. So there's a whole heap of reasons that there, and I will summarize them again over on the show notes, as to why evergreen content is well worth investing your time into.
You're listening to Pro Blogger.
And much of the content in my archives does fit this category. As I look back at that content and look at how it's performed over time, many times it's very steady in terms of the graph that we see in Google Analytics. It steadily tends to grow over time. I want to give you a couple of examples of this from Digital Photography School to contrast two types of content, the evergreen versus the now. In a last year on Digital Photography School, we published a post that was all about Adobe announcing that they'd released a new version of Lightroom as Lightroom CC. And we did a blog post on this. Now, this is what I would classify as now content. This was big news in our community. Lightroom's the biggest post-processing tool that our readers use. It was massive news. The post did really well for us. In the first week that that post went live, we had 12,000 page views. It was really good. It was a successful piece of content. The first day it went live, it had about 3,000, I think, page views. Later in the week when we sent our newsletter, it had, you know, 4,000 page views. All during that week, it had a lot. So 12,000 in the first week. That's what I would consider a successful post in its first week. Better than performing than many of the posts that we do. But then traffic tailed off. And as I look back on it, it's a bit over a year since that post was published. That post yesterday had two readers. One of them was me going back to have a look at the post. So it had really one reader. And since the time it was published, after the first week, it's had probably a total of about 1,000 page views in a year. And really, most of that came in the second and third week after it went live. So that's an example of a piece of content that dates. And that's pretty typical as I look at, you know, reviews of cameras, as I look at posts that are about news, breaking news. If you've got a blog that has that type of content, you probably see the same trend. You might be able to lengthen the amount of time that people go back to that by resharing it on social media a few times, but it's the type of content that doesn't tend to attract much traffic. Now, I want you to contrast that pattern of traffic with another post that I wrote back in 2007. This post is again on Digital Photography School, and I'll link to both of these in the show notes today. And this was a post which was an introduction to a concept in photography called ISO. If you've got a film camera back at home, you'll remember that film used to have ISO of a certain number. And this is a blog post which just explains what ISO means and what it particularly means for digital photography today. Now, the day that that post went live, back in 2007, the blog was a smaller blog back then, but it had 100 page views. And then it tapered off. It actually went down after that first week, after it appeared in the newsletter. It kind of tapered off, and it was getting about 40 to 50 visitors a day. Fairly similar pattern to the, you know, the second and third week to the Lightroom post that I just shared with you. But then things began to grow. You know, 12 months after that blog post was published in 2008, it was getting 200 to 300 page views per day. 2 years after it was published, it was getting 700 page views a day. 3 years after it was published, it was getting 1,000 page views a day. And since that time, it's remained at about that level, between 1,000 and 1,500 per day, with the exception of a few days where I've reshared it on social media, because we do reshare this post at least a couple of times a year on Facebook, because it's as relevant today as it used to be. And on those days, it can, you know, get, you know, up to 10,000 if things really go well for it in a particular day. Now, as I look back, since 2007, that blog post has continued to grow. It's kind of plateaued a little bit now at 1,000 to 1,500 a day. That's kind of where it's sort of sitting today. But as I look back over that time, it's had over 3 million page views to it. I wrote the post in 2007. It's getting, you know, 10 to 15 times the traffic today as it did on the day that I published it. It continues to be valuable for my readers. It continues to drive traffic from largely from search engines, but also it's getting traffic every time I reshare it on social media and other people share it on social media. It's the type of post that other people link to when they want to explain to their readers what ISO is, which only continues to help it to grow. Both posts probably took me about an hour, maybe 2 hours to write. I think the first one, the Lightroom one, was actually one of our authors who wrote it. I don't know exactly how long that they took to write it, but that post was around 1,100 words long, and my post on ISO, the evergreen one, was 700 words long. So they were fairly significant pieces of content, but probably only took a couple of hours to write. Obviously, the investment of time and effort on the ISO post, the evergreen piece of content, was much, much better than on the Lightroom post, the now piece of content. Now, that's not to say that there's anything wrong with writing about the issues of today, things that will date. We do those types of posts, but the vast majority of what we focus our attention on both Digital Photography School and ProBlogger, is evergreen content. It just does not even compare, really, in terms of the payoff from that investment of time.
Creating great content and building your audience. This is ProBlogger.
Okay, what I want to do now is share with you a few examples of evergreen pieces of content, because I know every time I bring this topic up, some people say to me, I just can't do evergreen content on my blog. And I want to share with you some of the examples of content that I've created on both Digital Photography School and ProBlogger, partly to give you a bit of an example of some of the types of things that we've done, and hopefully some of them might stimulate some ideas for you. And then after I give you the examples, I want to give you some tips on how to identify evergreen opportunities for content, particularly on those blogs where it's not as obvious. So let's start with some examples. Yesterday, I spent a bit of time going back into Google Analytics, and I pulled up the top 10 posts on ProBlogger and Digital Photography School in terms of traffic. And I pulled out the top five from both ProBlogger and Digital Photography School to share with you. Let's kind of work back through these from the most popular. So the most popular post that I've published on Digital Photography School is a post called 10 Ways to Take Stunning Portraits. And again, I'll link to all of these over in the show notes at problogger.com/podcast/136, where you can kind of take a look at these. Now, this particular post is pretty typical of a lot of the posts that we've got over on Digital Photography School. It's a fairly introductory type guide to a topic, a subtopic in Digital Photography School. On DPS, as we call Digital Photography School, we talk about landscape photography, portrait photography, macro photography, but portrait photography is probably the biggest category of posts that we have on the blog. But this post is an introduction to portrait photography. Now, I have a lot of posts on portrait photography, but this one kind of gets into some of the basics of that big topic. Now, the post is longish. It's probably around 1,400 words long, I think. So it's not a massive long mega post, but it's meaty enough that there's some content there. And I do find that search engines do tend to like content that is a little bit longer. So, you know, anything over 1,000 words is going to be treated as a sort of a slightly more meaty post. You look at that post and you'll see it's in the list format. It covers 10 points. And for each point, I only really touch on the idea. I don't go into great depth for each point. And for each point, I link to further reading. And this is a technique I like to use. I've talked about this on the podcast before. I would classify this as a sneeze post. The idea is that you're sneezing people deep within your blog in all different directions. And so for every one of the 10 points that I make in the post, there's a paragraph or two, and then there's a picture usually to help give it some visual interest, and then I sneeze people deep into the archives. And so hopefully by the end of reading this post, they might have read 3 or 4, maybe all 10 of the further pieces of reading, which does increase the chance that they will subscribe as well to the blog. So this post worked really well because it was an introductory type post to a major category in the blog. I have done this same thing for landscape photography, for macro photography, for wedding photography, all of those sort of main things that we find our readers come for. There's this type of post on the site. It's a topic that is not going away. People will always continue to take pictures of people, and the principles that I talk about are evergreen principles. They're not current trends in portrait photography. These are, you know, tips that you can use today and that hopefully you'll still be able to use in 10 years. This post, I think, works because it's got some stuff in it that you can apply immediately after reading it. It's actionable, it's practical, and there's more there if you want to read it. There's the further reading on each of the posts. Another reason that this one did well is that I followed it up with the second post. So there's another post, and you'll see it at the bottom of the post as an update, 10 more tips or 10 more ways to take stunning photos. And the reason that helps its evergreen nature is that that second post drove people back to the first one. And people, when they link to my content here, this particular post, they often link to both of them, and that just drives more traffic as well. And I think the last reason that this one particularly worked was that it was written in a fairly accessible style. People like lists, it's scannable, there's lots of images, it's not too heavy. So that's the first post. It's a teaching post, I guess you would say, an introductory teaching post to a big topic. The second one I want to share with you is a little bit different. It is titled The Rule of Thirds. And this, I would say, is a little bit different for a number of reasons. Firstly, it's not as long. It's only about 600 words long. So it's getting towards the shorter end of the type of post that we write on the site. So you don't have to just write long form content. I know Tim, if you listen to the rest of his podcast, you'll see that he writes, you know, 15 page long articles. His podcasts go for, you know, 1 hour, 2 hours, some of them. He really believes in long form content, and I do too, but I also think that you can do evergreen content that is shorter form as well. So again, it's not super short, but 600 words, we're getting a bit shorter now. The other thing that this post is different for is that it's not a teaching post, really. I mean, it does teach you, but it's more of a definition post. It's not a how to do it type post like the first one. It's more of a what is it type post. The rule of thirds is a principle of photography. Many of you will have been taught it as kids. It's a rule of composition. And whilst it does touch on how to apply the rule, it's more about defining what this rule is. And I find that definition posts are a great way of doing evergreen content. And in most niches, I would say there are there are kind of phrases that we use that an introductory type reader, a beginner reader, doesn't understand. I would suggest that most of the readers that have come to this post over the years have typed into Google, what is the rule of thirds? We come up number one or two, depending on how Google's ranking us on the day for that particular type of term. On ProBlogger, we do posts like this as well. One of the good pieces of content, didn't make my top 10, but we get a lot of traffic to on ProBlogger, is a post that I wrote called What is a Blog? And you might think that's the most silly post to write, but it's amazing how many people type that into Google. So are there terms that are relevant for your niche that you could write a post defining those words or explaining what those types of things are? This really can drive a lot of traffic. That post, the rule of thirds post, has had over 2.5 million people come to it. Okay, third example, another one from Digital Photography School, is a post called How to Make an Inexpensive Light Tent. Again, link to it in the show notes. This one's around 1,100 words long, and this is a classic step-by-step post. So it's teaching people how to do something, lots of images at each step along the way. This post worked for a number of reasons. One, it's a teaching post. Again, this is what I like to do. I like to teach people how to do things. Anything that's a step-by-step guide works very well, and these DIY projects really work for us as well. The other reason that I know this post has worked is a lot of our readers came back to it again, and that just drives people back again and again over time. I know a number of our readers bookmarked this particular post when they first read it. They didn't want to make it straight away, but they came back to it later, and it's the type of thing that they share as well, which really does help with that evergreen nature of it. For some reason, this post really lived on in the minds of a lot of our readers, and I continue to today see people sharing this post on Twitter with their friends. And I guess if it comes up in conversation that one of their friends is wanting to have a light tent, which is just a piece of equipment for photography, I guess it just comes to mind for people. And so if you can create something that's memorable and that people will refer back to again and again, that can work particularly well. Example number four is a post called Long Exposure Photography, 15 Stunning Examples. I wanted to include this one because it's only 200 words long. This is really short form content here. I guess it is longish in some ways because it's got images in it. And this post is one that I have shared on the podcast before. It's just 15 inspirational images that illustrate a particular technique in photography. So evergreen content doesn't have to be a teaching post. It doesn't even have to have a lot of words. It can be purely image. And I just wanted to include this one because it is an example of something that's a little bit different, but it continues to be evergreen. You know, those images, if you choose the right images, then they can live on as being something that inspires people for many years to come. I guess in some ways, this is a bit of a case study post. You know, here's what other people have done with this technique. Okay, number five. This is the last one I'll give you from Digital Photography School. I want to share some ProBlogger ones with you next. And this one is called Posing Guide, 21 Sample Poses to Get You Started with Photographing Women. This is 900 words long. They're getting a little longer here. But again, this one has lots of images. It's got 21 images in it. And this was actually part of a series of blog posts. So again, it's another example where evergreen content within a series that links from one post to another can really work very well. You end up with quite a large collection. I think we had 8 or 9 different posts in this series. We had Posing Guide, 21 Sample Poses to Help You Get It Started with Women, Men, Photographing Couples, Kids, and different situations as well. Again, this is an example where it's words, it's images together. It's not so much a teaching post. It's more of a how-to, how I did it type post or a case study type post. And the other thing that we found with this post is it's one that people saved to their iPads and took out with them when they were photographing women, and so they could show people the particular poses. So if you can create something that people will read more than once, that increases the evergreen nature of it as well, and increases the amount of page views that particular post will possible get. That post had around 2 million people hit it, and I think it was published back in 2010, so it's about 5 or 6 years old now.
How to build and monetize your blog. This is ProBlogger.
Okay, 5 more examples. These ones all come from ProBlogger. The post that I next want to talk about is one called Can You Really Make Money Blogging? 7 Things I Know About Making Money Blogging. And many of you will have seen this post over on ProBlogger because it's one of the most read posts that we've ever done. It's a longish post. It's about 2,000 words long, so fairly long form content there. This is an example of a frequently asked question. And I think if you can identify any frequently asked question within your niche, any question that you get from your readers via email or in comments or any critique that you have of your particular niche. So I saw a lot of people saying you can't really make money from blogging. And so this was my answer to that statement or to those questions. Quite long. It's a list post. So there's 7 things I know about this particular topic. And it's the type of post that I link back to constantly from other posts on ProBlogger. You will have seen me link to it. You will see me mention it in podcasts. So I link back to it. And that increases the evergreen nature of it by getting people back to that post again and again. And every time you get people back to the post, it increases the chances that it will be shared again or it might be linked to, which then helps your SEO. So it's one of those things that can snowball over time as your post grows. The other thing I'd say about this one, it's a bit of a myth-busting post. And so if there's a myth within your industry that won't go away, that's an ideal topic that you should be writing about because it's evergreen. Okay, the next post I want to talk about briefly is my mega post, one of the longest posts I've ever written, called The Ultimate Guide to Making Money with the Amazon Affiliate Program. And again, this is one that you will have probably seen if you've been reading ProBlogger for a while because it continues to rank really well in Google. It gets shared heaps. I know Amazon actually shared this with a lot of their affiliates because it was such a mega post. It's 7,700 words long. And as a result of it being so long, people bookmark it, they save it for later, they come back to it, they save it in Facebook, which must be a signal to Facebook that it ranks well. And it's the type of post that people share like crazy. It's been linked to a lot from different blogs, including Amazon themselves. It's also something I refer back to time and time again. So those things all come together to make it something that's quite powerful. Now, a few of the techniques that I've mentioned in this particular post have slightly dated. I don't do them anymore. So I updated this post. And that's one of the things I'll talk about in a moment. You can actually lengthen the evergreen nature of a post by changing it. And I'm totally fine with that. And I'll talk a little bit more about that in a moment. Okay, the 8th one that I want to share with you quickly now is a post called How to Craft a Blog Post, 10 Crucial Points to Pause. Now, this was a post that is a little bit different to some of the others because it's an introduction to a series of posts that I published over several weeks. And so if you go and look at it, the post itself is just the introduction. It just raises what I'm going to do next. And then I link to all the other 10 posts in the series that came. So as I release new posts, I would update this post to include the link to it. So it's kind of like the hub of a series. It doesn't have a heap of content in and of itself, about 800 words. So it's not tiny, but it acts more as the central hub for the rest of the series. And again, it's on a topic that's evergreen, you know, how to write a blog post. The 10 things that I mentioned are all as relevant today as they were back in 2008 when I published this post. And it's one of those ones that has really steadily grown in terms of the traffic that has come to this post, but also to the other 10 posts in the series as well. I linked to this one particularly from the portals around ProBlogger as well. And so I'm not only relying upon Google to send traffic to it, but I'm also sending traffic to it from navigation areas and our portals on the blog as well. So I think that's really important to think about, not just relying upon Google, but actually helping get people to these evergreen posts as well. The ninth one that I want to share with you is a little bit different again. It's called How to Quit Your Job, Move to Paradise, and Get Paid to Change the World. Sounds like a bit of an aspirational post, and it is. It's actually a guest post that John Murrow wrote, and I really would recommend that you go back and read it because it's just a story. And this is another example of a different type of content. It doesn't have to be teaching, doesn't have to be a case study, doesn't have to be a definition type post. This is a story. If you've got a good story or you know a good story that's relevant for all time, like this particular one is, that's a great type of evergreen content that you could be creating for your blog as well. It doesn't date. It inspires people as much today as it did in 2011 when we first published it on ProBlogger. The last one I want to give you is kind of one that was a bit of a surprise as I looked at the most read posts on ProBlogger. I didn't realize this post was getting so much traffic even today. It's 10 David Ogilvy quotes that could revolutionize your blogging. It's a post I wrote back in 2011, and it was just a collection of my favorite quotes from David Ogilvy, who's a, sort of like the original ad man. And it's 1,500 words long, so I did add a little bit of my own content. It's fairly light. It's not a meaty post at all, but I guess people are still searching today, many, many years later, for quotes from David Ogilvy, and I suspect that's where the traffic is coming in from. Okay, so they're just 10 of the examples that I've done. As I mentioned earlier, I've got some examples on the show notes today from some of our readers, some ProBlogger readers. I actually put on my Facebook page a few days ago now that I was doing this podcast and I wanted examples of other evergreen content from other blogs. And so there's a whole collection of all kinds of different content there. And I wanted to include these partly to drive a little bit of traffic to ProBlogger readers. I love to share traffic with our readers, but two, also, because I wanted to show you some examples of evergreen content from different niches. And some of these are teaching type posts, but some of them are different styles of content as well. Okay, so I know for a fact that some of you are still going, oh, this doesn't really work for my niche. And I kind of want to address that a little bit now. Evergreen content can take all kinds of forms. You've already seen some of the different styles of content, the different types of posts that I've shared. We've got how-to, instructional kind of guides. That's where I spend a lot of my time. You've got definition type posts. You've got inspirational content, so some of those image collections that I shared, but also the story that we shared. Case studies and examples. Sometimes they can date a little bit, but sometimes they don't. Advice. So we've got a post on ProBlogger, how to choose a blog platform. That's a piece of content that hasn't really dated a whole heap, although some of the platforms have changed. We've updated it a little bit, but it's a question that people continue to ask, you know, answers to frequently asked questions. And the last type would be swipe files or templates. And I'll share an example in a moment from CopyBlogger that fits into that category. Again, you can also see there's, even in the examples I've given you, there's been different styles or formats of posts as well, step by step. We've got list posts, we've got essays, we've got articles, we've got all kinds of image collections. We've got different mediums there. So evergreen content can be written content, it can be audio. Many of the podcasts that I've created, including this one, remain as relevant today as they were when I recorded them and hopefully will live on for a long time to come. Video can be evergreen. So really, you're not limited just to the written word here. I've got a post on YouTube, a video that I did on YouTube on my secrets of making money from blogging. I referred to that a couple of episodes ago, and it continues to get views even today. So video can work as well. So different styles, different mediums, different types of posts all can work as evergreen content. So you're not limited just to a written content. So how do you identify evergreen content ideas for your particular blog? I want to make a few suggestions for you, and hopefully some of these, again, will stimulate some ideas for you. So the first question is, what questions do you get asked today that you've been being asked for a few years now? What questions, you know, do you get asked that just don't go away? An example of that on ProBlogger was, you know, can you really make money blogging? That's one question. Another one we get asked all the time is, how do you make money blogging? And so some of the best posts that we've got on ProBlogger just answer those frequently asked questions. Okay, what are the key challenges, obstacles, or problems that don't go away for your readers? So again, on ProBlogger, one of the key challenges that our readers have and that hasn't gone away is productivity. You know, how do I fit it all in? How do I get it all done? And so you'll notice a lot of the content that I've created on ProBlogger does take that angle. You know, how do you get it all done? You know, how do you decide which social media network to get on? That was two episodes ago. So what are those challenges, obstacles, and problems that your readers have that just haven't gone away? That type of content that addresses those types of challenges will lend itself to more evergreen content. What searches are people doing on your site to get to your site? You can get some of that information from Google Analytics, but you may want to dig in a little bit too to see what people are searching for when they're on your site. What searches are people doing on your topic elsewhere? So you might want to look at Google Trends is a good tool for that. You can type in a keyword there and it will show you whether that keyword is being searched for on Google and whether that's a trending up or trending down type topic. What are the cornerstone things that people need to know in your niche? So a good example of that on Digital Photography School was that ISO post. I wrote a series of posts back in 2007, I think it was, on Digital Photography School on the topics of aperture, shutter speed, and ISO, that post I just shared with you before. Those three concepts are what I would consider to be cornerstone pieces of content. If you want to take a well-exposed photo, you need to learn those three things. And so those ideas are cornerstone to the topic. So if there are cornerstone things that you constantly are referring to in your articles, and maybe you've never even written on those posts because you think they're so basic for everyone, they're the type of things that you should be writing content on. And you should always link back to those things. You know, what are the key categories in your niche that you could write an introduction on? What could you create that people will come back to again and again? So a good example of this, when I did ask on Facebook for people to share examples, Carla and Emma from the Merrymaker Sisters shared a recipe that has sent them heaps of traffic to their particular blog, the Merrymaker Sisters. And it's called the Paleo Salted Choc Caramel Slice Recipe. And it's such an amazing slice. I've actually tasted it that I bet people are constantly coming back to it. It's one that they would live on in their memories that they come back to again and again and again if they don't print it off and put it in their most used recipes. So those types of things that you create that people come back to is really important. And swipe files is another example of this. So Copyblogger is one of my favorite blogs over at copyblogger.com. Brian Clark wrote an article back, must have been 2008, 2009, on his 10 surefire headline formats that always work. So these were just sort of little templates of headlines that you could use for blog posts. And that post, it's just become iconic. People constantly refer to it, and I constantly go back to it. Every time I'm stuck writing a blog post title or trying to name an ebook or trying to come up with a headline for a landing page, I go back to that post. So if you can create something that has some sort of a swipe file element to it that people will keep coming back to, then that's the type of thing that maybe you should be trying to create on your blog as well. And the last thing I'd say to try and help you identify evergreen content ideas is, what key stories have there been in your life or in your industry, in your niche, that continue to have relevance today? Things that continue to teach and inspire your readers today. And I think in most of our lives, there's moments in our lives that have been turning point moments for us. We often refer back to them in passing. So I really would encourage you to identify, you know, what were the turning point moments in your own life that you do occasionally refer to on your blog? Write that up as a blog post. Write that story up. And then you can link back to that and drive traffic back to that over time. So that's another evergreen idea.
You're listening to ProBlogger.
Now, the last question I kind of want to touch on with evergreen content, and it's a question I get quite a bit, is, you know, what should I do if my content dates? You know, there are plenty of blogs, as I mentioned before, that just purely do now content. And on one level, that's totally okay. And I want to say, if you've got a blog that's all about now content, maybe you've got a news blog, or maybe you've got a politics blog that's all about, you know, the election that's happening in the US at the moment, or if you've got a blog that's all about gadgets and you have to just constantly write about now stuff, that's okay. But keep your eyes open for opportunities to add some evergreen content. I do think in most niches, there's opportunities to create evergreen content. What I would say to you is look for opportunities to mix it up. You know, not every content that you write needs to be evergreen, and not every content idea that you have needs to be now. Most blogs can create a mix of that, and it will differ from blog to blog what that mix is. Over on Digital Photography School, I would say 90 to 95% of our content is evergreen. We could write a lot more about the new cameras that come out and the new, you know, techniques that there are for getting certain styles of post-processing. And we do a few of those types of things, but we tend to leave that to other blogs that are majoring more upon that. On ProBlogger, we tend to do a little bit more now content because techniques do change. For example, we've written more recently about Snapchat. We've written more recently about Facebook Live, some of these emerging trends that are here for a while. And I would say they're still reasonably evergreen, but then they may be not as evergreen as some of the posts that we do on Digital Photography School. And I guess that's one of the things that we should acknowledge, that really evergreen content is a spectrum. You know, some pieces of content that you write might last 10 years. It might last 100 years, really. Some of those principles of life, you know, just don't change. But there's a sliding scale. Some pieces are, you know, now, and they're today type content, and then they will not be relevant tomorrow. And then a lot of pieces of content, so on ProBlogger, our posts about Snapchat, they may only be around for 6 months or so, but that's more evergreen than just a today type piece of content. So do consider those types of posts as well, the sort of medium level evergreen. And the last thing I'll say is that you can update your content to make it more evergreen. And I've already kind of mentioned this as well, but you know, even the posts that are dating, look back at them and ask yourself, are there opportunities to go back to some of those old posts and update them? A good example of this on ProBlogger is my post, How to Make Money Blogging. How to Make Money Blogging. I think you can find it at ProBlogger.net/make-money-blogging. It's about 2,900 words long. I can't remember when I wrote that post. I think it must have been back in 2007, 2008, when I kind of summarized how I made money blogging. If you go back in the web archive and look at the different versions of that post that have been online, you will notice that they have changed quite a bit. I have gone back to that post again and again and again and updated it and changed it. It's probably very little of it is still what I actually wrote when I first published that post. Yet I would still consider that to be an evergreen piece of content because it's still the same topic. And whilst the content on it has changed with the times, people still are asking about how to make money blogging. And so the topic hasn't changed and the page URL hasn't changed and it continues to rank well in Google as well. And so you may have some content in your archives that you could tweak and update a little bit. And it becomes evergreen again today. Particularly pay attention to content that is doing well in Google or that is getting a lot of traffic from another blog. If you've got a hot post like that in your archives, really make it a high priority to continue to update that one. There are also other things that you might want to do some analysis on. Are there things within your niche that readers continue to come looking for? I'll give you a couple examples of this. One of my favorite blogs to read is Mac Rumors. It's a blog about, you know, the new things that are rumored to be happening with Apple and Mac. You know, new iPhones that might be coming out and new features that might be on the next MacBook Pro. I would consider most of the content that goes up on Mac Rumors to be very now. It's all now. It's all stuff that could be obsolete tomorrow, you know, as that rumor gets proved to be false or as the you know, new iPhone comes out, those posts that have been written about it really become obsolete. But as I look at Mac Rumors, they have worked out that there are some things that people just come constantly looking for advice on. And if you look up in their navigation area, they've got a link called Buyer's Guide. It's the Buyer's Guide to all Apple products. So one of the things I guess they've realized is that their readers get really nervous about whether they should buy a product now or whether they should wait a month or two before the new product comes out. And so if you go look at the buyer's guide, it actually gives you the latest information on that particular product. And this is a page that they've created that gives you up-to-date information on an evergreen topic. And I guess that's the point I'm trying to make here today is, are there things that your readers constantly are asking? I suspect they created that page because people kept asking in their forums, is now the right time to buy this particular product? And so they created a guide for that, and they constantly update it. It gets updated probably every day almost, but it's an evergreen kind of page because it's fulfilling a need that is not going away in their readers. And so you might find that there's just something that all your readers want to be kept up to date on, and so then you can create a page that's a little bit evergreen there. Another example of a blog that I read quite regularly that does this is Lifehacker. If you go to Lifehacker, and you will see different versions of Lifehacker depending where you are in the world, but if you can go to the US Lifehacker page, you'll find that they have some links to the most essential apps for Macs. And I'll give you the link to that in today's show notes. It's a post that they update constantly with their favorite apps for Macs. And they've obviously worked out that there's high demand that's not going away for that particular topic. And so if you look at that post, and I'll link to it in today's show notes, you'll see that some of the comments are like from 2013. So that post has been live for a long time, but it's been updated in the last few days. And they do say when they updated as well. So if there's something that people just keep asking you about, that's a problem that your readers have that's just not going away, consider creating a page that you update that really fulfills the evergreen kind of need that people have as well. Two more quick examples. I'll shoot you over to Digital Photography School again. We've got a couple of posts there that are our most popular digital SLRs and most popular lenses and most popular compact cameras. I'll share the links in the show notes. And these are posts that I update probably once a quarter, so three or four times a year I update those posts, and it just shows the current trends in those particular things. I noticed a few years ago that people were constantly asking, you know, what digital SLR should I buy? And I could spend all day answering that question, or I could create a page that simply answers the question for our readers. So again, it's an evergreen question, but I update the content. And so that might be something you could do. If you've got a blog that is on one of these sort of now type topics, maybe there are some things that you can do to create some evergreen content. Last one I'll share with you as an example is from Vanessa's blog, my wife. Stolen Shenanigans is her blog, and she wrote a post called Where to Shop in Bali after we took a holiday there. And I don't know that she really expected that post to do as well as it has, but it's one that has ranked pretty well in Google, and yet it does date. You know, Where to Shop in Bali does change from month to month, year to year. And so we've been back to Bali several times now, and she's gone back even by herself on a girl's kind of holiday for a significant birthday that she had. And so every time she goes back, she collects more information on that particular topic and then updates that post. So you might have a post that dates, but are there ways that you can continue to update that one?
This is ProBlogger.
Okay, so there's some ideas on how to create evergreen content for your blog. Creating it is half the battle. The next thing you really do need to think about is, how do you get people to it? Once you've written your evergreen piece of content, think about how you're going to get your readers to it. You know, whilst a normal post might have a spike in traffic and then die off very quickly, the goal with evergreen content is to get a steady stream of traffic to it over time. So a few tips on how to do that. Now, partly it's going to be up to Google. Google do have their way of determining where to rank traffic. So I guess the first thing is learn how to do some SEO. How can you optimize your post for SEO? And I'll link in today's show notes to an episode that we did on search engine optimization that I interviewed Jim Stewart, on that particular topic. So optimize your post for SEO, but then consider how you can get people to it from your blog, your existing blog. So your navigation areas, your menu, your sidebar. If it's an important piece of evergreen content, you probably want to highlight that post in some way on your blog. And so on ProBlogger, I mentioned already, on our sidebar next to blog posts, we have link to some of our important pieces of evergreen content. We have portals. We link to some of our important evergreen pieces of content from the About page, the Start Here page. Also, underneath blog posts, we have further reading, which we recommend certain pieces of content that people should read as well. Go back through your archives and work out, are there other relevant pieces of content that you could be linking to your new evergreen content from? Even if it's just sending a trickle of traffic from, you know, 10 different blog posts, that adds up over time. You can regularly reshare that social media content again and again. So build a system where you're highlighting that type of content. One very simple thing that I do pretty much every day is go back to look at what I published this day last year and this day 2 years ago. So the date today as I'm recording this is the 25th of July. Tonight, when I do my social media for Digital Photography School, I curate all the content that goes up onto our Facebook page. I will look at what I published this year on the 25th of July last year and every year over the last 5 or 6 years. And I'll be looking for opportunities as I do that to find evergreen content. Now, I don't share every post that we published on the 25th of July because some of it wasn't evergreen. But if it's evergreen and it's still relevant today, I use that as a signal to myself to reshare it. And so I know every year I go through every post on the site. If it's evergreen, it gets shared at least once a year. So build a system where you can resurface that evergreen content. Keep in mind, as you write future pieces of content, there will be opportunities to link back to your evergreen content in that. So before you publish any new blog post, ask yourself, is there something I've written before that's evergreen that I should be linking back to? You should be linking to your evergreen content in any promotional activities you do. So if you are guest posting on someone else's blog, don't just link back to your front page, you know, in your bio. You might want to consider linking back to an evergreen piece of content that relates to what you wrote about in that guest post. If you're interviewed on a podcast or if you get an interview in the media, try and find a way to mention that piece of content that you've created and drive people back from that. And I guess the last thing is, if you've got a piece of content that's evergreen, consider who might be interested in that. Is there a social media influencer in your particular niche who might actually like and might share that piece of content as well? So promote your evergreen content. Don't just write it. That's half the battle, but get people to it and work it. It's really important to continue to do that. And the last thing I'll say about evergreen content is that once you've got people viewing it, once you do get that steady stream of traffic to those posts, that's the goal. You've got to ask yourself, well, what's the point of that? If people are seeing that content and then they're bouncing straight off your site again, that's kind of a bit of a wasted opportunity. So how can you leverage the eyeballs that that evergreen content are getting? You might want to consider creating an opt-in or a lead magnet where you give something away in return for an email address from the people who do come to that. You might want to get people to read a second piece of content. So if you've got an evergreen piece of content that's getting lots of eyeballs, you might want to suggest some further reading from that to get a second eyeball on a second piece of content. You might want to call them to follow you on social media. Really, it's about trying to make that piece of content that is evergreen, that is getting the traffic, as sticky as possible. Now, I put together an episode purely on that topic of making your blog post sticky. It's episode 35 of the Pro Blogger Podcast, and I really would encourage you to go back and listen to that one once this particular episode is finished. If you've already got evergreen content that's ranking in Google, that's getting traffic from social, that's getting traffic from other blogs, you really need to take a good look at that piece of content and see how can I leverage that piece of content. So go and listen to episode 35 on that. Just to sum up, evergreen content is one of the best investments that you will ever make in terms of creating content for your blog. Now, not every piece of content needs to be evergreen, and not every piece of evergreen content that you create is going to work. You know, sometimes they just don't attract the traffic that we think. But the more evergreen content you create over time, the better. You know, I shared with you earlier in this podcast 10 pieces of content that have done really well for me on my blogs. Now, those pieces of content, some of them have had millions of page views, but none of them have made up any more than, you know, 1 or 2% of my overall traffic. The reality is that all of the millions of page views that I've had, the tens of the hundreds of millions of page views that I've had over the years, have actually, most of it's come from all the little pieces of content that I've created that have been evergreen. And so really it's about the accumulation of what's in your archives that matters with this. It's not just those big posts that go viral. It's some of those little posts as well that might attract an extra 10, 20, 30 visitors a month to your blog. Those add up over time. Every piece of content that you create is an investment that continues through the overall traffic that you're able to drive to your blog. So I really do encourage you this week to make it your goal to create some evergreen content and identify some other topics that you might want to write on that are evergreen in nature. Actually come up with a bit of a schedule to create that content over the coming weeks and months. Thanks so much for listening to today. I know it's been a long one. It actually took me forever to prepare this one. There's so much to say on the topic, but you can find today's show notes with all the further reading, all the examples that I've given you, and a full transcription of this whole podcast over at problogger.com/podcast/136. Thanks for listening, and I'll chat with you in a couple of days' time in episode 137.
You've been listening to ProBlogger. If you'd like to comment on any of today's topics or subscribe to the series, find us at problogger.com/podcast. Tweet us at ProBlogger. Find us at facebook.com/ProBlogger or search ProBlogger on iTunes.
Before I go, I want to give a big shout out and say thank you to Craig Hewitt and the team at Podcast Motor, who've been editing all of our podcasts for some time now. Podcast Motor have a great range of services for podcasters at all levels. They can help you to set up your podcast, but also offer a couple of excellent services to help you to edit your shows and get them up with great show notes. Check them out at podcastmotor.com. Just a quick reminder, if you wanted to listen to that episode that I mentioned on how to build a sticky blog, on how to get people hooked into your blog once they do come along and view your content, head over to episode 35 of the ProBlogger podcast. You can do a search for that in iTunes. Just scroll back through all of the podcasts that we've got there, or you can find it on the ProBlogger blog at problogger.com/podcast/35.